The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in an old place. Then the other disciple, the one arrived first, also went in. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Then, thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said in Arabic, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't gone up yet to the Father. Go to my brothers and my sisters and tell them, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them all that had happened to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. You parents here, have you ever made like a little jingle for your child when they were little toddlers or a little smaller? You know, like your little boy or little girl, you look at them and you see their beautiful little eyes, sparkling brand new, their little lips just bursting to be kissed, their little skin so nice and white or whatever color it is, black or just beautifully soft. And you say to yourself, "I just want to sing a little song," like I used to sing to my daughter, "Jenny, she's the cutest girl in the world." Please don't tell her that I said this because she'd be horrified by me sharing this with you. But I would say this little song to her, and it really became handy, especially when she was not feeling well, or when she had fallen down and scrubbed her knee, or maybe when she lost a toy. And I would sing the little song, "Jenny, the cutest girl in the world." And somehow, after a few seconds, she kind of realized that I was calling her, and she would kind of take her tears and wipe them away, and out of the blue, a beautiful little smile will occur. And you know, and I doubt that this wonderful little song was not the reason why she smiled, because my singing is not all that great. I certainly don't sing like Jessica or Father Bob. They have wonderful voices. I think it was something that was going on that was very significant. And it was that as I called her name, maybe in some sense she felt connected again to me, to the family, to those whom she loved. Maybe when she was feeling lost, or maybe when she felt that she was in pain, that I would call her and sing her name, and somehow she was able to come back to the world that she belonged to. Even though that same world that she came back to now had a reason and understanding and some support for what she was going through. And I imagine that this is something that Mary was going through today as well. We read from the Gospel of John that Mary went to the tomb twice. The first time she goes, I don't know if she was going to go just pray or just be with the tomb. She sees that the stone had been rolled away. And so she goes back to the disciples, to Peter and to the disciple that Jesus loved. And he says, "They have taken his body and I don't know where they've laid him." And so the disciples, as I read to you, just run back in. And so Mary stays on the outside. Peter looks in and he runs in. And then the disciple who Jesus loves also runs in, and they see the cloth of his burial. He's not there. And so, you know, Peter walks away wondering. And the disciple that Jesus loves says, you know, he walked away believing. And so they leave. They kind of ponder these things, as Scripture will say. And so Mary is kind of hanging around. And so she kind of goes in and she looks into the tomb. And she sees these two angels, it says, sitting one at the head and one at the feet of where Jesus was laying. And she looks in, and I think she's so distraught, she doesn't even recognize, these are angels, you know? When you see angels, you get nervous, or you get excited. I mean, she's not able to see or experience the wonder or the bewilderment of that moment, and she just looks in because she's so distressed. And she says, they say to her, why are you weeping? And she said, they have taken my Lord. At that point, she still is kind of out of it. Even Jesus is standing right next to her. She doesn't recognize it. She thinks he's the gardener. And so he asks, he said, why are you crying? He says, well, they've taken my Lord. If you know where he is, tell me and I'll get him. And then he says, Mary. He calls Mary. And in that moment, I imagine all the different feelings that she's going through, all the despair and all the disappointment and all the loneliness that she's feeling. And she's kind of brought back to life, brought back right to where he is, and recognizes Jesus as her Lord. And the first thing she does after she wipes away her tears and this beautiful grin comes back to her lips, she says, Rabboni, my teacher. She recognizes. She's brought back. Something happens that brings her out of this darkness, out of this confusion, out of this despair, into the reality of which God is calling her to be present. And what she does immediately, that Jesus says to her, now go, tell the other disciples that I go to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. And so Mary, in a sense, goes back and she is now becoming the first Christian preacher in the New Testament. So she goes back and she tells the disciples all the wonderful things that have happened to her. Now, I think that Easter has been severely underrated because Easter is one of those great holidays that many of us just think it's, you know, a nice thing to remember once a year. When I was a kid, I remember used to get clothing, the big parades with the hats and, you know, the lunches and the dinners and the extra food and goodies that you have with your families and friends. That to me was Easter. The other thing was that bunny, right? The bunny with all the little chocolates and all that kind of thing. So it was fun for the kids and so forth. But I realize that Easter is something that really is significant because when Jesus calls Mary and says to Mary, Mary, he calls her out of where she is. And so I'm thinking to myself, maybe Easter has to be recognized in a different context. Easter has to be looked at not just as an event in history, but as a reality in life. An everyday occurrence in which the God of the universe, the God of the world, the Lord of my life, the Lord of everything is present to me in every moment that I live. He is not just available to me because of a dogma. He's not available to me because of the cycle of a calendar. He's available to me when I am in the midst of despair, when I'm in the midst of confusion, loneliness, and uncertainty. And I have to listen to that voice. I have to recognize that I'm being called by name. You see, a lot of us think that we live in life and that we're the victims of the circumstances of life. I tell you that life is what life is. And what we've done is we've pushed God out of our lives and made God a very simplistic reality that is outside of the everyday norm. And what Easter is reminding us is that there is resurrection in the midst of pain. There is transformation and redemption in the midst of confusion. There is sanctification of the loneliness that you feel and the separation that you have. I mean, how many of us are going through all kinds of things right now? Maybe a divorce. Maybe somebody in our family is dying. Maybe we're looking for a new job. Maybe our marriage is ending. Maybe something is happening with us. We have to deal with some depressive issue. These are the things that are going on in life. And for us, we don't connect it with God. We think God is found in the church. God is found on only certain holidays. God makes an appearance. Christmas and Easter. But God is the Lord of life. And we have a misconception that God is not present when we are in our darkest experiences. That God is not present when we are loneliest, when we are lost. We think that God is not there because it just doesn't fit our theology. But you know, God is more than just theology. God is the God of life. And if you listen to the voice of God, you are drawn to the truth of life. You are drawn to become human. You are drawn to engage in life. You are drawn to be part of the everyday that God is present and Lord of. We have separated the two, and it's time for us to think that Easter now is a reinjection of God into our daily life. That God is the reality that we breathe all around us. And sometimes even the pain that we experience is where God is. Is that really hard for us to figure out? That in the midst, God is God of everything, okay? God is not just God of the good things. God is the Lord of the world, of all good and bad, the right and the wrong. God is the Lord of all. And all of this plays out in front of God's eyes. And all of this is an opportunity for us to engage in our lives and become more than what we are and experience the reality of God. Not decipher which area God is present and what part we're going to take part in. And even the most painful parts of our lives are where God is present, asking us, do you hear my voice? And if you hear my voice, I can redeem you. I can sanctify you. I can transform this experience to make it meaningful, if anything else. I was watching a Facebook clip just a few days ago, and I got a real kick out of it. It's about Rabbi Twersky. Rabbi Twersky is a rabbi who didn't really want to go to the dentist. He believes in old practices, you know, a little lemon or a little mint. He has to go to the dentist. So he goes to the dentist, and he's looking at a magazine. He opens up the magazine, and it's about lobsters. And he says, what do I want to know about lobsters? Very Jewish. So he starts to read it, and he reads that the lobster, when it grows its little shell, it starts to be painful because the shell is too hard, and he's growing up. And so what he has to do is he has to go into a rock and somehow break the shell when he's very vulnerable, break the shell, and then allow another shell to grow over, and it's a little bigger so he can move around, but then that shell becomes too small. And so he's got to get back onto a little rock, and then so he's got to break that and, you know, to get another shell. And he says, Rabbi Twersky says, well, it teaches me that sometimes when we have pain in our lives, we go immediately for a, you know, particular painkiller or something like that, and we never experience the pain. The pain helps us to grow, doesn't it? We have to break out of the pain so that we can grow more. So Rabbi Twersky gets up, throws a magazine, says, I don't need a dentist. I'm out of here. So the question is, where is your God in your life? Is it just in the good times? Today, the Easter teaches us that God redeems everything. Everything, because everything belongs to God. Will you not invite God in your darkest moment? Will you not invite God in your depression? Will you not invite God in your loneliness or in your uncertainty? This is where God wants to make himself real to you. And you know what? You learn. You really open your eyes. You really get life. If you want to know the God, fall in love. If you want to know God, live your life. Truly live it. Don't parse it out by ideas or theologies or dogmas. Don't regularize it by different understanding or concepts, because that is not the God of life. That is God of an idea, of a theology, of system. Our God is inviting us to remember that he is a God with you in every step of the way, in every good thing, in every troublesome thing, in every burden that you carry, in every uncertainty that you have to come across. That is what God is. And I remember reading in Psalm 139 that says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even if there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become my night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light for you. This is the God of all. This is the God we meet in our everyday, in our most wonderful moments and in our most painful realities. God is not just the God of Easter. It's Easter that proves that God can do anything, that God will overcome anything. He'll call your name, Andy. He'll call you Jim. He'll call you Priscilla. He calls us all the time. Life experiences are calling us, but we don't listen. That is our challenge. That is our call, to listen to God's presence in everything we do. And if we do, he redeems it. We hallow it. Do you know what the word hallow means? Can I tell you another little Jewish thing? I've been reading so much stuff. I love it. You know, it's called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. It's the name of healing the world. And it's a beautiful little story that when God was creating the world, he didn't make them all that perfect, and he wasn't happy with it. And so every time he destroyed the world, he would take all these beautiful essence, these little sparks, and he would put it in a big urn. And so finally, God got it right. He made this earth. But as a typical Jewish story, there was an accident. And so the urn spilled over and fell everywhere. All these sparks of light fell on the earth, fell on animals, fell inside of you and fell inside of me. And our purpose in life is to lift this back up. Our purpose in life is to release these sparks of light and return them back to God. And the way you do that is by hallowing, by allowing it to be what it is, by sanctifying life for the gift that it is, for recognizing the beauty and uniqueness that people are, to believe again, to trust again, to engage others again, not to lose faith, but to even bring the darkest parts in your life into a relationship, Because you know what? God is not the God within us. God is the God between us. Between us, where we come in love to each other. That's the message of Easter. We can heal the world. But you've got to be able to relate to God every day in your life. Whether it's old age, with your life. To listen. The voice stands before us, and the voice calls. Do you hear me? Rachel, do you hear me? And when you say, yes, here I am, Lord, that is the beginning of a new life. I wish that for you. Amen.